You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights on authority. Somebody said, yeah. Yeah, who's that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty funny. Yes, yeah, we have been. Been teaching on authority, and man's authority in particular. And of course, it's a natural transition. If you're going to talk about authority, you got to get into the name of Jesus. Because really, that's what Jesus did. He left us authority when he gave us his name. So tonight, we're going to minister along those lines, but I want to set it up and lay it out here before you. You know, what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 chapter, we often think in some churches, they think in terms of that being a commission, you know, to the disciples or the 12 apostles, but actually it was to all of us. In fact, if you read it carefully, you can see that Jesus bodily, physically is not here. He is in us. We are his body here. Jesus left the earth. Amen. Physically, bodily, and sat down on the right hand of God when he rose from the dead after 40 days. He was seen among seen by 500 people at one time, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Paul says he was seen by over 500 people, and the greater part of those were still present or alive when he was writing 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. But Jesus bodily left and is seated at the right hand of God. We know that. We know he's going to come back soon. But when he left, he didn't stop doing what he's always done. He didn't stop Jesus and company. Jesus and company is still going on. What he did is he left and gave us authority to continue the work. When I say us, I mean believers. He didn't just give that to the 12. In fact, he didn't even do that while he was on the earth. He didn't just commission 12 when he was on the earth. Luke, the 10th chapter, says he commissioned 70 others also to do what they did, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And it's all in the scripture. So that was 70 plus the 12 plus Jesus. I mean, there was a lot of people doing it. But when he arose from the dead, he gave authority to us, the church, because we are the presence of God or the body of Christ, the fullness of God in the earth today, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus fills the earth through you and me and people all around the world that are called by his name. That's what the scripture says, that we're the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it tells us that. And we are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter talks about that. 14th chapter talks about it. We're the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen? So we need to be doing the work. If it's going to get done, then we're going to have to do it. That's what all this authority has to do with. I mean, it has to do with working and continuing on God's kingdom. When God made the earth, he made man after he made everything to oversee the earth. And he authorized him, and he gave him authority over all the earth. Okay, well, the kingdom of God has been established upon the earth. Jesus did that when he arose from the dead and justified us from our sins. And he left us here. We're authorized agents of the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. We're here to advance the kingdom through our lives, through our witness, through our light, through our prayers, through our faith, our morality, and so on and so forth. But we've been authorized to advance the kingdom. When you see something wrong, you're supposed to fix it. That's you're his agent. You're his representative. That's who I am. That's why we pray. Today we pray. We prayed tonight for several people. We heard about something that was wrong. And God's kingdom should rule over all. Well, if God's kingdom's going to rule, it's going to go through those that were authorized by him. You catching it? As his agents and his representatives and his ambassadors, that's us. Then we're waiting around for God to rule, but God is ruling through us, through our prayers. Now, he commissioned us. In fact, what we call, command to go out and preach to the gospel to the creature, we call that the Great Commission. That's what it's called. So he commissioned us to preach the gospel. That's what Matthew 28 tells us. In fact, Matthew 28, notice what it says. This is right before he ascended into heaven. He'd already risen from the dead, been seen by many of them. 17th verse, 28th chapter. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Wow. That to me just blows me away. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Can you imagine looking Jesus in the face risen from the dead talking to them, and there were people there, some of them doubted. And we think that if we just tell everybody what the Bible says, and we just pray for them, they're all going to believe. Man, they're looking Jesus in the face and some doubted. Yeah. Anyway, that's just wild. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and earth." King James says power. It's actually the Greek word exousia. It means authority. All authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. But I don't think anybody dispute that. I think any church would agree with that. That's what he said. He's got all authority. But then he turns around and he says, "Go ye therefore," or "Go therefore." New King James says, "Go ye." "Go therefore. Go therefore, go therefore." Now, what is that? Oh, come on now. I've got all authority. You go.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I got all authority. You go. Well, what he's doing is authorizing them.
Right.
He's giving them authority. He's got the authority. Now he's authorizing them to go.
Amen.
I have all authority. Go ye therefore.
Mm-hmm.
Make disciples of all the nations. Teaching all nations, I believe is what it says. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, I do that. You ever notice when we baptize? In the book of Acts, it's very plain. They would baptize in the name of the Lord, or the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus, some form of that. Jesus here says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, I don't think baptism saves you. I think it's an outward sign of an inward work. I think it's a public confession or profession of something that you've privately, inwardly done. You're saying before all these people in this public ceremony, water baptism, that you have accepted Jesus and you belong to Him and you have died to yourself and you're going to rise up to walk with Him in newness of life.
Amen.
So I don't believe it saves you, but I believe that if you're saved, you should be baptized. Are you with me? Now, having said that, how do we baptize? Do we baptize in the name of Jesus or do we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We do baptize in both. If you notice, when I baptize people, I baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and this I do under the authority invested in the name of Jesus. So if somebody comes up to you and they're all out of sorts, because people can get all out of sorts, and say, "Do you baptize in Jesus' name?" You can say, "Yes, we do." If somebody comes up and says, "Well, do you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?" You say, "Yes, we do."
Great.
We actually do all that. You know, so you're covered if you're ever baptized here. You'd fit in any one of those camps. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth or end of the age. Amen." You know, often people have said, well, he's just talking to the 12. Well, first of all, he's talking to all those that saw him, whoever those were. But even if you said he was talking to the 12, it still doesn't make sense that they were the only ones that could do what he commissioned them to do, because he commissioned them to go teach others to do all the things that he commanded them.
Amen.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
So if Michael here represented the 12, I would say, "Michael, I'm commissioning you to go out and teach others all the things I commanded you." So I command you to teach LaCrista to do all the things I commanded you to do. So if I told you to go lay hands on the sick and told you to cast out devils and you pray for people, then I'm commanding you to go tell her to do everything I commanded you to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then she's commanded to tell whoever. Yeah, there you go. So it never stopped. It never was something that was just, you know, there was no proprietary, you know, law on miracle signs and wonders, that it was just for the disciples. It was something to be shared that they taught and they trained others and commissioned others to do. The question would be, how did they do it? Who gave them that right? Well, it started with Jesus. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And he said, "Go ye therefore." That would be like a power of attorney in legal terms. If I had a company and I were going overseas to do mission work, that sounds pretty good, going to be gone a long time, I wouldn't shut my company down. I'd let it continue on and operate. But before I would leave, I would authorize someone to continue to buy and sell and operate the company and sign over in a limited way my name for them to operate in my name. That's called a power of attorney. We often do that when elderly people maybe mentally are not, you know, capable of handling their finances. They're still alive and they need someone to take care of their property and possessions, and so many times they'll do a power of attorney to their children so their children can handle their finances and bills and all those things. We understand that. That's, you sign the right over to use the name. Good. And it's not just a matter of a privilege. You're authorized to do just that. It wouldn't be an honor or just a privilege for me to sign my name over to someone if I had a business. I would expect them to continue the business. I am authorizing them. Are you catching this? I think we've missed that point sometimes. We look at the promises many times as wonderful things, wonderful choices. But actually, God is depending on us to stand on those promises, to use that name. And we'll see as we go into this that that's how he gave us this power of attorney, is by giving us his name to use. Because we don't do anything in our own name. I haven't done a thing in my name, spiritually speaking, since I got saved. I've done everything in Jesus' name. And whatever I do in word or deed, the Bible says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Real simple thing. Jesus left, but he wants everything to continue just like it was when he was here. And so he commissioned people, the Great Commission. He authorized people, that's us, to continue doing what he did. Now, it's not our power, it's his power. It's not our money, it's his money. Turn to Mark 13 chapter. We'll look at another vein here. You know, I've used this example many times. It's kind of hard to improve on when you think about it. I used to work for a company called Trinity Produce. I was in a wholesale produce business. And Bud Harding and his mother, they owned that company. His dad owned it for years, and he passed on. And, of course, they continued it on and is on the market. And he had trucks that he sent out to all kinds of businesses, and they loaded up trucks. And, you know, we bought and sold all over the United States and loaded up 18-wheelers and boxcars of potatoes in Idaho, you know. And sometimes we'd sell Colorado potatoes, but anyway, that's another story altogether. Ted and I go back and forth about Colorado potatoes and Idaho potatoes. But I would sit at the desk and I would on the phone and deal with shippers and brokers and buy and sell and load up 18-wheelers. And boy, I mean, Don, you know about all that. You've worked on a market before, I guess, and hauled produce, yeah. But I never paid for any of it. Man, I'd load up boxcars of potatoes in Idaho. I mean, they'd come in on a train or rail and we'd send men over to unload it, you know, and I never touch it. Never paid it. Yeah, fill that boxcar up. Oh, yeah, fill up. I want some of those BC apples from Canada. Come on, fill that a whole 18-wheeler up. I want some lettuce from California. You know what? I'd deal with shippers, and, you know, we'd have a half a truck full, and we'd put other pallets on it and other stuff on it and just order stuff all over. I don't have a clue how much money I probably spent. But I didn't spend any of it. And they never once ever checked my bank account. They never once did a credit check on me because I wasn't buying it. And yet I was buying it. I was the one that called the broker. I was the one that talked to the shipper. Are you with me? I'm the one that placed the order. I'm the one that told them how much to put on that truck. Man, we bought stuff from all over. I mean, we had from the valley, you know, from Florida and California, one side to the other, and north and south. Mexico, we bring in Chilean fruit, you know, we bought bananas from all over Central America, and just load up trucks and trains. And see, I had a right, because I was employed by Trinity Produce, I was authorized to use the name of Trinity Produce. And I bought in the name of Trinity Produce over and over, day in and day out, week in and week out for some 3 years. That's what I did. But I never had to pay for any of it. Now, kind of nice little privilege, but if I didn't do that, I would have lost my job. Are you with me? Because the purpose of authorizing me was so that I could continue the business.
Amen.
That was the purpose of it, see? And I think sometimes we lose this sight of this in Christianity. Oh, we got the name. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, but he's given us that name to use. He's authorized us to do something with it. We should be praying. Are you out there? We should be believing. We should be, you know, someone's sick, we ought to pray for them. Hallelujah. Somebody needs peace, we ought to pray for them. And we ought to use that name. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here in 13th chapter of Mark. Y'all got there yet? Now, he's talking about him coming back, and he says in the 32nd verse, "But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father." I love that. I could have a camp meeting on that one alone. Anytime somebody sets a date on when Jesus is coming back, he's not coming back then, okay? Because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, okay? Not even Jesus. So if you know when Jesus is coming back, you know more than Jesus does. "Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." That's something that should be inside all of us as Christians, that Jesus could come back any day. We ought to live as if he could come back tonight. Are you with me? Notice what it says in the 34th verse, Mark 13, verse 34. "It is like," Jesus speaking now, "it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants." Oh, y'all catching this now? Okay. "Gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore." We're kind of like doorkeepers in one sense too. Doorkeepers keep things out and they keep things in. You know, we ought to keep it pure. We ought to keep it holy. We ought to watch and keep the door. We shouldn't let things, the wrong things in the kingdom, in the church, in our lives. Amen? And then we ought to let the right things pass out the door, as it were. It's just a thought there. Because a door is a guard. Doorkeeper is a guard. Doorkeeper gives permission. Amen. Are you out there? Amen. We need to keep the door a little better probably in our lives. I'll have to admit I do. You know, I need to be a little better about watching what gets in and a little better about watching what gets out.
That's right.
You know, so, but nonetheless, the point that we're making here in a broad sense is that Jesus has left Jesus in company and is seated at the right hand of God. But he didn't leave. He didn't shut the company down.
Amen.
The company's still going.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever Jesus did, he's still doing it. He's doing it through commissioned officers, authorized people, people who are ambassadors for him, people who represent him, people who have the right to use his name. Okay. Wow. "Like a man going to far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight or at the crowing of the rooster in the morning, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say to you all, I say to all, watch, watch." Let's keep the business going. Amen. Let's keep rolling with Jesus and company. You know, we're employees of Jesus' company. Now, we're the family of God. It's an analogy. Come on, stay with me now. All analogies break down at some point. But the picture still remains, and the symbolism still here. You know, Jesus, if you'll follow him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can find out what he did. You can go over in the book of Acts and find out what the disciples carried over.
That's right.
That'll give us a synopsis of what Jesus and company is about. It gives us a synopsis of what the kingdom of God is about, what the church should be about. I'm always amazed that people begin to make, they start determining value on certain parts of the gospel. You know, they'll make a value judgment. They'll say like, "Well, I'm saved, that's the most important thing." I don't think anybody questioned that. I think salvation is the most important thing you'll ever get. Yeah. Are you out there? But they go a little further than that and say, "That's the most important thing, and really, that's all that matters." Now we've gone too far. It is the most important thing, but it's not all that matters. Because if it were all that mattered, Jesus would have stopped right there. And he would have told his disciples to stop right there. And he would have told us to stop right there. But we know from reading the Scripture that Jesus didn't stop right there. In fact, he didn't just forgive sins, he also healed diseases. And then even in the book of Acts, he told them to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and he did all, you know, did all kinds of things there. It'd be like building a house. If I were in a house building business, I might be renowned for building houses all across the country. Best builder in the country. I go take a trip, you know. I authorize my employees to continue building those houses. And somewhere down the road, I'm gone a while, and they decide, well, you know what? I know, you know, he always put air conditioning in the houses, but the real most important thing is you got a house. I mean, come on. I mean, if you got a house, that's the most important thing. Everybody ought to have a house. If you start making these determinations of what's valuable. And then I'm gone a while, and so they just start building houses and leaving out the air conditioning, you know, leaving out the heat. Houses are still good. They're still great. I mean, they're still the quality they always were. But, boy, it's cold in the winter, and it's hot in the summer. And when people start complaining, they say, well, you know, life's tough. I mean, at least you got a house. You got a house, and that's the most important thing. When I come back, I'm going to have a reckoning or a come to Jesus meeting with those builders and say, look, you know, we always put air conditioning in the house and we always put heating in the house. I know Mike's with me on this one. What are you guys doing building a house without air conditioning? When did you start doing that? Well, we decided that the house is the most important thing. Well, no one denies that. But the problem is that's not what we were doing when I left.
That's right.
Oh, are you with me? Are you tracking with me here? Okay. So Jesus gave everybody his work, and you know what? He gave us his name to carry on the work. I mean, when you pray for someone to be healed, or you pray for someone for peace, or you pray for someone, listen, it's not your healing. You're not healing them. They're not checking your bank account. I'm not a healer, but I'm authorized. Are you with me? To lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. I'm authorized to pray for peace. I'm authorized. In fact, I'm the one's going to do it. If it's going to get done, it's going to be me or you or somebody in the church because we are the ambassadors of Christ. You say, how is that possible? Well, he's given us his name to use. He's given us that authority in that name. Mark 16, while we're in Mark, just go over to the 16th chapter. And we'll look at that. Mark the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. It's still in my Bible. Mark 16. And you know it. 16th verse says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Pure and simple. These signs will follow them that believe. I love that. Now, who's he talking to? Well, actually, if you back up a little bit, he's talking to the 11. 14th verse. Later he appeared to the 11. As they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Great commission. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them who believe. Wow. Now, wait a minute. Let's break it down. Jennifer, this time you're representing the 12 apostles, the 11 apostles. I'm Jesus. I kind of like that. I'm not Jesus. It's just a picture. Stay with me. I'm saying to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs will follow. Wait a minute. These signs will follow you. No, these signs will follow them that believe. Mm-hmm. Y'all see that?
Yeah, good.
He's not saying these signs will follow the apostles. They already knew that. He told them that over and over. They've been doing that before he rose from the dead under his authority. And now, okay, he's risen from the dead. He's leaving. He wants them to continue the work, but he wants them to go out and authorize others.
Yeah, that's good.
Now you say, well, now he's telling 11 disciples to do this. No, he's not. That is a third person word, them, those. Now, I don't know. You know, I don't know where a Center High School rates academically, but them, those. I went to Center High School for a while before they kicked me out. But them and those was like third person. And if I was talking to a person, I would say you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? He didn't say, these signs will follow you. No, he said, go you.
Right.
All the word, preach the gospel. He that believes what you preach.
Yeah.
they'll be saved. And these signs will follow them that believe. Wow. Now see, there it is again. He's talking to more than just the disciples. He's talking to believers. How about you? You believe? I believe. I believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Man, that's me. In my name they will cast out devils. Didn't say they talked to them. I'm always amazed people really get into demon, you know, casting out devils. And I've run across different kinds of people in my life, in our movement, you know. They'll talk to demons, and I've cast out devils, you know. But, you know, someone biting their fingernails, they don't have a fingernail biting demon. When somebody has a demon, in the Bible, it's pretty obvious. I mean, they threw them in the fire. They hollered out in these voices, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I know somebody, I believe they got a devil. No, they're just mean. They just need to repent. If someone's got a devil, it's pretty obvious. In the Bible, they would cry out, you know. And I've run across some people demon-possessed, and you just cast them out. Now, they'll talk to you all day long. I'm always amazed that people say, well, this demon told me this. Well, he's lying. Demons lie. That's what they do. That's what Jesus said. I got this book I'm written on how this demon been in there three generations. They've been in this person, and they did this, and they did that. Well, how can you believe a devil? First of all, they don't tell the truth. Jesus didn't say talk to devils. He said cast them out.
That's right.
Man. Yeah. Hallelujah. They'll talk to you all day long. Some people say, well, just rub a Bible in the back, Nick. They hate the word. Just do that. No, it didn't say rub a Bible. No, it said cast them out. Well, you got to find out what their name is. No, you don't. Jesus one time said that, and he didn't even, the demons didn't even tell him his name. He said, what is your name? The Gadarenes demon, Mark 2, and it says, or Mark 5, and it said, we are legion, for we are many. And Jesus said, come out. He didn't have to know what their name is. Look me in the eye. Tell me what your name is. No, you don't do that. That's not what the Bible says. You just cast them out. Say, in Jesus' name, come out. And you don't have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to be afraid they're going to jump in you and get on you. That's Hollywood. Come on. This is the Bible. This is Christianity. We got the power, not the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus would say, you know, come out and go and leave. And they'd leave and go. And the book of Acts, they did the same thing. And because it's Jesus' name, every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. And all authority in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus. And he gave us his name to use. Hallelujah. I was in Bombay, India one time, ministering in the middle of Hindu festivity week. Boy, I mean, I vowed I'd never go over there again like that. I had to pray. I prayed an hour every morning, an hour every night before I went to bed just to stay on top of it because it was just such oppression there. And I was preaching in this church and through an interpreter, you know, and this guy comes up. I'm praying for people, and this guy hits the floor and starts writhing like a snake. Right in the middle of my praying for people, you know. And so they jumped. I mean, people started grabbing him and pulling his hair, and I don't know what they were doing. I guess they thought they were going to beat that devil out of him or something. But I just something came all over me, and I just moved everybody out of the way, and I jumped on top of him. And I was really trying to protect him. You know, I'd like to get him free, but I'd like him to be alive to get him free. And I jumped on top of him. I remember jumping on him and grabbing his hands because he was slinging his hands. And I was just eyeball to eyeball with him. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. And his eyes were just all glazed over. He looked at me. Now, I'm in Bombay, India, preaching through an interpreter. And he says, okay, but I want to tell you something. Sound like he's from East Texas. I mean, he talked to me. He just absolutely talked to me. You say, what did he say? I don't know. I told him to shut up and come out. And he started going, fire, fire. And I wouldn't let go. I was about to let him go. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen if I let that guy go. No, I was, the anointing came on me and I said, in Jesus' name, come out. Actually, I started laughing. The Holy Ghost just came on me and he just like that. His head went down. He went like that. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, I've killed this guy in the middle of Bombay. I am the only white person in this meeting. I'm probably the only white person in that whole city. You know, I'm over there in the middle of nowhere. This was 1980. And so we picked him up, put him in a chair. I said, y'all get him some water. And through an interpreter I had there, and he came back too. Hallelujah, somebody. He came back alive. But it says here, cast out devils. It didn't say talk to devils. You know, in fact, he told me, I have something I want to say. I have something I want to say. And, you know, we've been there all night. He told me all kinds of stuff. I could have written in the book. had a demon casting out ministry. Expert. Ministering to ghosts from coast to coast. Man of faith and power. God's man for the hour, you know.
Oh.
But it's just the devil's lie. Devil's lie, that's just what they do. I remember one time I was at the Salvation Army in Houston. I was preaching down this years ago. And they have a pretty good setup. You have to hear the preaching before you can eat. The kitchen's behind. You have to come through the altar to the kitchen. And lots of people come down there in Houston. It was, you know, 200-300 guys come in there. And we'd preach down there on Wednesday afternoons before church that night. And I'd go down and preach every Wednesday. And this one guy, we were praying for him. I was praying for him, and he said, "I want to be free." I said, "Okay, come over. I will pray for you." And, you know, Jesus loves you. And I was leading him through the sinner's prayer and everything. He's talking to me, and he looks at me. He's talking normal, and he looks at me, and he says, "I love Johnny Cash." I'm going, where did that come from? I'm serious. I am not making this up. Just stared at me. "I love Johnny Cash." Voice changed and everything. You know, I thought, whoa, goodness gracious. I didn't know demons loved Johnny Cash. But... And he says, he's looking at me. And I'm looking at him. I'm eyeball to eyeball with him. You know, and he says, "My daddy doesn't like Johnny Cash." And he starts talking real crazy. He said, "But he's going to get what's coming." I said, "Oh, whoa, 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 right there. In Jesus' name." And he dropped his head. "Oh, God, I need help. Oh, God, I need help. I need help. They're going to get what's coming to him one day." Look back up at me and stared me right in the eye again. His voice would change. Everything would just change. And I said, "Well, you can get help. You want help?" And he dropped his head. "Oh, God, I want help. I want help." I said, "I'm going to cast the devil out of you. You got a demon." And, okay. So I laid hands on him. And, man, he started standing there, you know, and tensing up. And I said, "You lying devil, you come out of him now in Jesus' name." I didn't ask what his name was. I didn't ask how long he'd been there. "In Jesus' name, you come out." And I started hollering because he started kind of resisting there, you know. And the cook came in the back door. By this time, everybody had already left. The cook had come in the back door like those two double doors back there. He came in, he walked in because wondering what we're still in there. And when he walked in, I mean, I let out a big, "In Jesus' name, come out of him." And that cook, I never will forget, he went like this. Right back out the door. And the guy got set free. He got totally set free. But it was the name that did that. It was the name of Jesus. You know, most people are in sin. They just need to repent. But, you know, when somebody has a demon, there's something. It's obvious. Okay? It's obvious. So I was in a Bible, and it's nothing for you to be afraid of.
Amen.
Something gets all over me when I get around somebody like that. I want to jump on them and set them free.
Amen.
You know, set them free because we have that authority. And it comes by believing on Jesus.
Amen.
It comes through the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
"These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents." Now, obviously, that's the power of the devil. He's not talking about literal snakes. Revelation 12 says that old serpent, the devil, talking about the devil. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he's saying, we'll take up the enemy's power. The devil does not have power over you. You have power over him in Jesus' name. You can resist temptation. You can pray in crisis. You can believe God. You can use the name. Hallelujah. And you've been authorized to do it. "They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them." Evidently, poisoning was a big deal back then. But there's a good promise to stand on. You know, if you were poisoned, not to go out and drink poison, like some churches where they take up snakes and drink poison. You know, Paul, he stuck his hand in a bunch of sticks at the Isle of Malta, and a snake bit him and latched on to him. He didn't jump around and say, "Hey, y'all, look, I just took up a snake." The Bible says he shook it off, which anybody with any sense at all should do when a snake bites you. He didn't try to take it up like this. This was talking about taking up the power of the devil. It says, those who believe in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. See, we're authorized by Jesus and company, as it were, from Jesus, the owner of the company, to use his name while he's gone. He has taken a journey to a far country. And he has given every one of us our work, and he's given us his name to use. Now, this is interesting, too, when you think about the name. I've got a few more scriptures I want to get to. But I'm not, when I use the name, unless I'm asking God, okay, for something. When I use the name, when you use the name, you're not asking permission. You're exercising authority. What does it say about laying hands on the sick? Okay, let's walk it out. Here, I'm going to lay hands on Michael here, okay? He probably needs the prayer. I probably need the practice. If he came to be prayed for, I wouldn't say, Father, I ask you to heal him.
That's right.
That's not what it says, is it?
That's right.
We do that. We often do that. Maybe there's times for that. Someone's at a distance or whatever. But according to the Scripture, I should go over here and say, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be healed.
In my name. Amen.
But how often do we do that? How often we'll say, Father, I ask for your healing power to come into him now. Instead of, I command healing to come in your body now from top of your head to tip of your head. Be healed in Jesus' name. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, that's just what it says. In fact, let's turn over to the book of Acts, 3rd chapter. That'd be a good one. Acts. You healed? Acts 3. Here's a classic case. First verse. Y'all, we got plenty of time. We're in good shape here. Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
Good. First verse, 3rd chapter, Acts. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Silver and gold have I none, King James says. But such as I have, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Y'all see that?
Yes.
He didn't say, in the name of Jesus, Father, amen, I ask. Now see, I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm saying, the name's not something that God gave us so we can have permission. It's something he gave us to authorize us. Yeah. I didn't call Trinity Produce every time I placed an order. I just placed the order.
Amen.
That's what I was there to do. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Y'all catching this?
Yes.
I think sometimes we've made it religious. We put our religious twist on it and bend on it. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being sacrilegious. I don't want to overstep boundaries. If this is what the Bible says, I think this is where we missed it in a lot of cases, because we thought we were being humble. And that's not humble. Now, if I'm coming to God for something, I come in Jesus' name. No question. That's the proper way to pray. But when he talks about laying hands on the sick, he just says, you go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that's exactly what Peter did. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? He had the name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Which gave him the authority.
Yes.
Did Peter heal the man? No, Peter didn't heal him. Jesus healed the man. Jesus healed that man. And one of his agents, Peter, who was authorized by Jesus to use that name, laid hands on him in Jesus' name, and Jesus healed him. Well, I just don't think I could heal anybody. Well, you can't, and I can't either.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about praying for somebody like that. I just don't think you don't. I mean, you're just authorized by Jesus to lay hands on him. He's the healer.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out of your account.
Right.
Well, I don't think I'm that good. You're not.
Right.
Let's just get that straight right now. You're not that good.
Praise God.
See how the devil talks us out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish I had that kind of faith. I'm just not that holy. I'm just Oh, come on. Just go out there and start doing it. Start doing it. Start doing it.
Yes.
Start doing it. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, he goes on. They ask him about this. They want to know what in the world's going on here. And so they came running together, you know, when the man got healed, because he did. He got up and walked. It says in the 12th verse, we can start there. So when Peter saw it, they all came running together, greatly amazed, to Solomon's porch. 3rd chapter, 12th verse. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man to walk?" Isn't that kind of the case? We think, well, that was the holy apostles. No. Peter said, look, it wasn't our holiness or godliness. It wasn't our power that made this man walk. 13th verse. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." 16th verse, here's the telling verse. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." That name. As an agent of Jesus, you know, part of the body of Christ, a believer in Jesus, Peter used that name. You know, he also says in the 4th chapter, I'll wrap it up with this. 4th chapter. And this really speaks to what took place. They abducted Peter and John, threw them in the midst of the Pharisees and said, "What in the world's going on? Who do you think you are doing all this?" 7th verse says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Who gave you this authority? What gives you the right to heal this man? Where did you get this authority?" Woo! Good question.
Yep.
Sometimes you just wish people would ask you those kind of questions, you know? I mean, really, you know, ask me, I'll tell you, you know? And they ask Jesus, you know, ask the right question. And of course, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, 8th verse, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made whole?" If that's what I'm understanding you to ask here, let's make it plain. Let's lay it out there just as plain as we can make it. If you're asking me how I did that, how this man was made whole, this good deed we did, if you're wanting to know how, "be it known," 10th verse, "be it known to all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Wow. Wasn't Peter's holiness, wasn't Peter's power. It was the name of Jesus that made that man whole. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Whew. Everybody say given.
Given.
God gave us the name Jesus.
Yes.
It's ours. If we receive it, it's ours. "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
In fact, you can't be saved by any other name. You can call on Buddha, you can't be saved. You can call on Muhammad, you can't be saved. You can call on Moses, you can call on Jeremiah, you can call on Peter, Paul, and Mary. Or Peter, Mary, and Paul. We love them all. But only Jesus will save you. Because there's not power in those other names. There's only power in Jesus' name. And that name has been given to you as like a power of attorney. You've been authorized. You have it. And that's why Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." I have the name. And in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Woo! And he wasn't asking permission. He was exercising authority. We're talking about authority. Well, the church's authority comes through the name. of Jesus. And when it's all said and done, God gets all the glory. We're not great faith people. We're not super faith men, super faith women, faith healers. You know, all these things we hear. No. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a Savior. All that's true. He gets all the glory. But we are His agents. We do work for Jesus and company. And we've been given that name to use as a power of attorney. Hallelujah.